In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text is the gospel which was read. In 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. delivered a speech to the thousands who participated in the Civil Rights March on Washington, D.C. Again and again, he shouted, "I have a dream." And what was that dream? A nation freed from racial and religious prejudice. An America, he said, in which black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of that old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last." It was a moving expression of that which we all hold dear. For many in this nation, freedom to have and to be what their potential will allow is still only a dream. But this Reformation Festival points to a freedom which is available even when civil liberties are denied. What Martin Luther did on October 31st, 1517, sparked a movement that restored to human beings the ultimate freedom. Of this freedom, Jesus speaks in our text. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Why is this freedom in Christ the ultimate freedom? Because it's a freedom from sin, and it's a freedom that continues forever. Sin and slaves. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, anyone who sins is a slave of sin. And the present participle in the Greek indicates continuing, habitual practice of sin. Sin is the worst narcotic, highly addictive. Criminals released from prison usually return to crime. Sin is a pitiless taskmaster, demanding increasingly larger, more degrading doses to titillate jaded senses and stimulate cynical minds. Wallowing in lust, speaking words that deceive, returning evil for evil, may bring temporary pleasure, but the misery endures. Sin enslaves in more subtle ways, too. We can be slaves to ourselves, our plans, our goals, slaves to a self-will which prefers my way to God's. Psychology, independently of theology, has arrived at the same conclusion. As one psychologist put it, there is no maturity or fulfillment of man's personality apart from the slaying of egocentricity. That's a way of speaking not of sins, but of sinfulness, a state of being separated from God because of self-centeredness. Did you catch the self-centeredness of the people to whom Jesus was speaking in the text? "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone." They were well aware that they were under the political yoke of Rome, Yet they considered themselves free because they were physical descendants of Abraham, that great man of God. Therefore, they were special people with whom God was well pleased. They didn't realize that this fascination with themselves was slavery to sin. It's easy to become fascinated with ourselves when we have a noble religious heritage. Today we thank God for spiritual fathers like Martin Luther, C.F.W. Walter. We thank God that we belong to a church which holds to the pure doctrine of God's word. But do we sometimes become smug, looking down on those benighted souls outside our confessional boundaries, who are not nearly so privileged as we? They're still searching for the truth. They don't know who they are, but we know who we are. As one church member defensively responded, "You don't have to ask me who I am. I've been a member of this church for 40 years. Sin enslaves in many and devious ways. But as Luther reminds us, the recognition of sin is the beginning of salvation. That's why the keynote of Christ's ministry was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When we admit our sinfulness, honestly confess, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," we're on the way to ultimate freedom. Mere recognition of sin does not in itself free us. It only leads us to realize that we need to be freed by someone outside ourselves. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, battled for our freedom. And he secured it at the cross and at the empty tomb. We have redemption in his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Think what that means. No need to make ourselves look good before God by reminding him of our heritage. No need to earn God's favor by a perfect performance. We're swamped by assignments, pressured by deadlines, harried by family responsibilities. We can stop and reflect. I can do only what Christ gives me strength to do. And I live each day in the forgiveness of sin. To know God accepts us as we are in our self-centeredness and that he forgives us, that's freedom. But the struggle with sin goes on. It seems as if we're doomed to repeat past failures. As someone said, "What can you expect? He let his job take precedence over his family, and he's still neglecting his wife. He'll never change." But that's not true of us who live in God's forgiveness. We're not bound to repeat past sins. Our old self has been crucified with Christ that we might be slaves to sin no longer. Jesus doesn't assist us just a little bit to put down the old self. He's a total power by which we accomplish anything pleasing to God. I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me, doing what I am incapable of doing. To be free from sin's condemnation and from sin's control That is ultimate freedom. This freedom continues day after day. We don't lose it each time we sin. Listen to what Jesus says. A slave has no permanent place in the family. A son belongs to it forever. As forgiven people, we're God's sons and daughters, members of His family, entitled to family privileges, one of which is freedom. As God's family continues to the end of time, so will our freedom. That's not the case with earthly civil freedom. They come and go because nations rise and fall, and social and political and economic conditions change. But ultimate freedom is not dependent on these outward factors. It's not even dependent on ourselves. It depends on Jesus Christ the Lord. Daily moves us to repent of our sins, to receive His forgiveness, and to live by His power. Yet, the continuance of our freedom hinges on our continuing in something. If you hold to my teaching, says Jesus, that is, if you continue in my word, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. To hold to Christ's teaching, to continue in His word, is to grow in the Scripture, not only in the head, but in the heart. So we must use the Scriptures not just for professional reasons, but because the continuance of our freedom depends upon it. Jesus brings us freedom through the word, the written word, the visible word of baptism and Holy Communion. So let's immerse ourselves in that word. Read, mark, burn, inwardly digest it, that we might grow in the truth as it is in Christ, who alone has set us free and will keep us free. Continue in His word. He will continue our freedom forever. Our freedom won't end when we die. Now, we Christians look to be no freer than our neighbors because we experience sin and the results of sin, sorrow and pain, sickness, death. When we join God's heavenly family, sin will never again disturb our freedom. We will experience freedom fully, perfectly, forever. That ultimate freedom. Many people are still being denied their civil rights. Discriminated against in jobs and housing, judged not by their ability or character, but by the color of their skin, their position, their education, their income. For many, freedom is still a gift. The Reformation Festival reminds us of a freedom that is not a dream, that is real, and all was available to you and to me, to black and white and Jew and Gentile, educated and uneducated, rich and poor. It's the ultimate freedom, for it's freedom from sin that continues forever. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Some deliverance, some freedom. Amen.